Welcome to Bible Adventures. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.
Jesus is Lord of all. Jesus is Lord of all. No sin is too big, no problem too small. Jesus is Lord of all.
Today's Bible Adventure continues the story of Jacob's 11th son, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his older 10 brothers in revenge for him being favored by their father. Joseph worked faithfully as a slave in Egypt for his owner, Potiphar, for many years. God blessed Joseph's work caring for Potiphar's business affairs. However, Potiphar's wife regularly tried to entice him into committing sin with her. In anger, she took revenge on him, making up a story for her husband, who had Joseph thrown into prison. Every person at some point in life will be falsely accused and judged by others, just like Joseph was. The issue may be minor and most likely will not result in a prison term, but God is concerned with how we each respond in such circumstances, whether the issue be minor or large, private or public. Will these trials reveal a godly character inside or a self-defensive one? If punished for something we didn't do, will we become bitter and angry at people and God? We can do at least three things that'll help us to bear our trials. Firstly, like Joseph, we can maintain a clear conscience at all times. This involves avoiding all known sin against God, including various sins in our attitude and thoughts, such as bitterness, anger, jealousy, unthankfulness, and an unforgiving spirit. Secondly, commit each situation we find ourselves in to the Lord in prayer. Trust that He will work all things for His good and righteous purposes. And thirdly, we need to keep our thoughts focused on the presence of God and being in right relationship with Him. God has promised never to leave us or forsake us as we abide in Him, and we're to hold on to that promise and believe it every day. Then we'll not only be able to bear our trials and benefit from them, we'll even learn how to honor our God and rejoice despite them. Just how far Joseph was humbled by God can only be imagined. Prisons in Joseph's days were very rough, tough places where prisoners were controlled by guards with whips. Joseph didn't know how long he was to stay in prison. Having been jailed instead of killed, which was Potiphar's mercy to a slave who had no right, Joseph could expect to be in jail for life. However, the Bible indicates that Joseph had hope that one day the king would redeem him. Without hope and while suffering under terrible conditions, prisoners will give up on living back in society and instead long for death. In today's Bible adventure drama, Joseph settled into prison life among the hardened prisoners held in the king's prison.
Now the prisoners in the jail into which Joseph was thrown were used to build Pharaoh's great monuments. Some of them worked in quarries, cutting stone.
Now then, you dogs! You get on with your work! You there! You'll get a real beating if you don't cut your foot of stone by nightfall!
Move over a bit, miss. They would only give us decent food.
You get used to the food. It's the tools they give us to work with. How can a man cut stone with worn-out tools?
You're right. The tools are hardly better than sticks.
Say, since Joseph seems to be in good with the jailer right now, let's see if we can get him to complain about the tools.
Hey, that just might work.
Yeah.
Sir!
Yeah, what do you want?
May I speak with you a minute?
Yeah, all right, but be quick about it.
Well, the other prisoners asked me to speak to you about the tools.
The tools? What's wrong with the tools?
Well, sir, they say the tools are old, worn out, won't stand up to the heavy work in the quarry.
Oh, is that so?
Well, I heard you say, sir, that we're getting behind in our work. Maybe if we had better tools, we could work faster. There are smiths and carpenters among the prisoners, sir. Maybe they could make new tools and repair the old one.
The jailer, brutal because he had to be, and afraid of his superiors. But even he could see that Joseph was no ordinary man, and certainly no criminal. So, as the weeks went by, he entrusted more of his duties to Joseph, and the prison became a better place because of Joseph's care. Now the king's butler and baker offended the king, and for this they were cast into the dungeon. One gray dawn, after a restless, miserable night, the butler and the baker awoke, fearful and perplexed. Joseph, seeing them thus, came near and asked,
"Good morning, friends. Why do you look so anxious?"
"We dreamed last night. Very vivid dreams."
"It may be that these dreams are a sign of what's in store for us."
"If only we knew what they do mean."
"Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me your dreams."
"In my dream, behold, a grapevine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And the vine budded and blossomed, and brought forth clusters of ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, so I took the grapes and pressed the juice of them into the cup and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand."
"God has made known unto me the meaning of your dream. The three branches in your dream are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh shall restore to you your former place. You shall be his butler again."
"You mean I shall be free in 3 days?"
"You will. But when you're free again, please mention my name to Pharaoh. Perhaps he will look into my case and set me free."
"Indeed I will, Joseph."
Maybe my dream has a good meaning too. In it, I had 3 white baskets on my head, and the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked meats for Pharaoh. But the birds came and ate them out of the basket. Has your God revealed the meaning of that to you?"
"He has. 3 baskets in your dream are also 3 days."
"You mean in 3 days I shall also be released from prison?"
"I'm afraid not, my friend. In 3 days, Pharaoh shall cause you to be hanged."
Hanged? Surely, surely they can't."
But Joseph was not wrong. On the 3rd day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, Pharaoh made a feast for all his servants, and he restored the butler to his position again. But the baker was hanged. Yet the butler, glad as he was to have regained his freedom, forgot his promise to Joseph and did not speak to Pharaoh concerning him. And Joseph feared that he would remain in the jail forever.
Joseph might have been in prison, but he wasn't forgotten by the Lord. Again, God gave him great favor with the jailkeeper. Soon Joseph was doing things to help the jailkeeper, and eventually Joseph took over responsibility of running the prison and supervising the workload of the other prisoners. Because God was with Joseph, everything Joseph did prospered, so the jailkeeper had little to be concerned about. After a while, 2 new prisoners were brought in. They were the chief butler and the chief baker of the king Pharaoh. Pharaoh had been very angry with them, and as a result, he threw them into prison where Joseph was in charge. This is recorded in the Bible in Genesis chapter 40. These 2 officials of Pharaoh both had dreams and were troubled by them, as they didn't understand what they meant. Joseph reminded the 2 that only God could correctly interpret dreams, or anyone God gave the knowledge of interpretation to. Joseph then offered to tell what the dreams meant. The interpretations weren't obvious, especially the chief baker's, and naturally he was upset when Joseph told him that the king was going to kill him in 3 days' time. The chief butler's life, however, was to be spared. Joseph asked the chief butler to remember him to the king when the king restored him to his former position. He needed Pharaoh to look into Joseph's case if he was to ever get out. 3 days later, Pharaoh took the chief baker's life but restored the chief butler to his former position, just like their dreams had indicated. But the chief butler forgot all about Joseph when he was back serving the king, and Joseph remained as overseer of running the prison for the next 2 full years. How many times do we promise to do something or pray for someone, yet in the busyness of life forget our promises? In Psalm 103 it says, "Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things that he does for me." With the chief butler's lack of remembering Joseph comes one of the most famous Christian stories about forgetfulness that happened in the 19th century. When Charles Spurgeon was a teenager, he was a promising preacher but untrained. A friend arranged for him to meet with the principal of a theological school, and this meeting was to take place in the home of a well-known publisher. Spurgeon arrived on time. A maid led him to a different room from the one where the principal was waiting to interview him. After a 2-hour wait, Spurgeon rang the bell for the maid. At that point, he learned to his dismay that the principal had waited a long time in the interview room for him, but by now had left to catch his train back to the city. Spurgeon was terribly disappointed, but soon accepted the situation as divinely ordered. Later, however, he determined not to reapply for the theological admission when he believed that God had spoken to him with these words, "Are you seeking great things for yourself? Seek them not. God doesn't want believers in Christ to depend on their theological training, but upon himself. Receiving what God wants to give us depends on us being rightly connected to him. The Bible tells us that we are all in need of forgiveness from God. We have all committed sin, and in 1 John chapter 1 it says, if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Each and every sin is ultimately an act of rebellion against God. As a result, we desperately need God's forgiveness, and this is what God is willing to give us. If our sins aren't forgiven, we'll spend eternity separated from God and suffer from this separation forever. But God's forgiveness of our sins is fully available if we just place our belief in the saving, cleansing, and forgiving power of Jesus Christ, God's redeeming Son. You can't earn forgiveness from God. You can't buy or pay for it either. You can only receive it as a free gift, by faith, through the grace and mercy of God. The Lord Jesus paid our debt for us so that we could be forgiven. He took on himself our punishment for our sins. He died in our place, and then he rose up again from the dead, victorious over all sin and death. The measure of God's love to us cannot be fathomed when we start to understand the cost that it was to the Godhead to rescue us for eternity. God is loving and merciful. Have you personally called out to the Lord Jesus to save you from God's just punishment for your sins? If you have, then from there on, live totally dependent on Christ Jesus for everything that you need in this life and the next. We need to develop a childlike faith of trusting in the Lord with all our heart. Here are some practical things that we can do to help strengthen our trust in God. Firstly, we need to draw close to God by reading the Bible and asking him to help us to understand it. The Bible shows us God's character and his trustworthy ways. We can also get to know God better by spending time in prayer and worship with him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, "Don't worry about anything, but in all your prayers, ask God for what you need, always asking him with a thankful heart. And God's peace, which is far beyond human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds safe in union with Jesus Christ." God's peace is ours before God shows us how he'll answer our prayers. We can ask God to give us a grateful heart, irrespective of our circumstances. And this is what it means to rejoice in him, even if we're unfairly accused or suffering unjust treatment. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "Be joyful always, pray at all times, be thankful in all circumstances. This is what God wants from you in your life in union with Christ Jesus." No matter what you face, never be afraid to gladly put your unknown future into the hands of our all-knowing Creator God. The drama is from the Bible in Living Sound. If you'd like to receive a free booklet, then write to this station and ask for it, but be sure to print your name and address. Or you can write to John, Post Office Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053. You can also contact us through our website, www.bibleradio.org.au. Those addresses again, John, Box 2370, Brookside Centre, Australia 4053, and the website bibleradio.org.au. We're looking forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Bible Adventures, and I hope you'll join me again next time.